the voice of St. Anthony Parish. My name is Father Robert J. Carr, and I am the administrator of St. Anthony Parish in Alston, Massachusetts. And I welcome you every single day to our broadcast. We're located at 9:50 a.m. and 100.3 FM. And we come here at 3 o'clock in the afternoon right here on WROL. You can also hear us through WROLradio.com, where you can also hear our podcast. If you click on the menu item podcast, you can also connect to us through Saint, S-A-I-N-T, AnthonyAlston.org, and SaintSTHomilies.com. And if you'd really like to connect to the show specifically and get connected to what we do on the show, which also connects it to the parish, we are at CatholicAudioMedia.com, and you'll hear more about it at the end of the show. CatholicAudioMedia.com, where you can connect to the show, you can send a message, comments, whatever the case may be, and you can connect with people who are speaking on the air. You connect with the Pauline Bookstore, Father Adriano Zandana, and everything else. So that's CatholicAudioMedia.com. Well, today is the 5th. We are beginning the 5th week of Easter. And yesterday, we had, of course, those great readings that we have every year A of the 5th week of Easter. But there's one I wanted to look at very specifically, and that is the first letter of Peter. By the way, if you go to CatholicAudioMedia.com, you'll see a video which connects you to a playlist that I did several years ago on how to read the Bible. And the New Testament letters are so powerful because they're basic explanations. They're basic teachings and explanations. Now, the Old Testament has that too, but a lot of it is rooted in stories, and you need to read it within the context of the particular story. For example, one of the criticisms of atheists is the great destruction you see in the Old Testament. And it was a criticism that has been so long that even in the early days of the church, there was a heresy called Martianism based on the teachings of someone named Martian. So you can say you are not a Martianist if you are not followers of this heresy. Or I suppose you could say you're not a Martian. But anyway, and the heresy was that the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament were two different gods. Because it seems that Jesus was, during his earthly time here, was nicer than we see in the God of the Old Testament. Well, that's not accurate at all. It's bad teaching, but a lot of the reason why is because it's taken out of context. Throughout the Old Testament, you can see the prophets constantly calling the people to repentance, and they're calling them to repent because they're walking down the wrong path. But it really doesn't go into how bad the path was until you see different parts of the Old Testament. Well, you know, unless you know the entire Old Testament really well, you're not going to know all these little parts. For example, did you know that many times when the Hebrew people went astray, they would practice human sacrifice? It's right there in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah the prophet spoke against the people sacrificing their children to Moloch, who was this pagan god. So when you turn around and say, well, why was God just suddenly being angry at these people? Well, they were sacrificing their children to Moloch for one of many, many things. In the book of Ezekiel, there's this section that I always imagine like those old-time movies where they would do that scene where you could kind of see through a wall to see what was going on the other side of the wall. Usually they were superhero movies, and they would have that scene where all of a sudden you'd see a hole in the wall, but you'd know it was only the superhero could see it, and he could see on the other side. Well, there's one of those type of scenes in the book of Ezekiel where the priests in the temple, now they're actually in the temple, and they were like, they weren't at the altar, but they were what we would call today like in a sacristy. And they were worshiping the idols. And the worst sin of the Old Testament was idolatry. So when you see the destruction going on in the Old Testament, there is a context for it. And a very serious context, as I like to say when I did my series on the book of Revelation, which you can get to through CatholicAudioMedia.com. But as I like to say, is, you know, God didn't step in and, you know, and punish the people because they were, you know, doing knitting in a knitting circle he didn't like. There were real serious infractions that would have brought destruction on the whole community and his plan of salvation. So there were moves in there that are within context. So you understand that, this whole understanding of when people think of the Bible and they think of the New Testament and the Old Testament. So I began that little I guess you call it tangent by explaining the New Testament is very good in explaining different things extremely well. So our second reading yesterday was from the first letter of Peter. There are two letters from Peter, and this is the first, and this is from chapter 2. And what's good about it is, again, it's a very simple explanation. What does this say? Well, it says X, Y, Z. So what does it mean? X, Y, Z. So what it says here is it describes who we are. And Peter says for us to be built into a spiritual house. This is an ancient symbol of the church. To be built as a spiritual house. There's all kinds of biblical, what we call apocryphal literature, actually, extra biblical or apocryphal literature that never made it into the Bible, where this symbolism is very strong in there, of being built into a spiritual house, being built into a spiritual tower, that we're all like stones in the structure of this tower, which is the church. All of that is there. So he says, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So who are you? You are people built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Well, you might turn around and say, well, Father, you're a priest, but we're not priests. There's two forms of priesthoods in the church. There's the ordained priesthood, or those who are ordained to service of those who are in the priesthood of the laity. The priesthood of the laity are called to go out into the world and bring the message of the gospel. And if you didn't know that, now you know it. You are called to be prophets for the gospel, and the job of the priest and the bishops and the pope is to help you to do that. That's what we're called to do. And we're all have this holy priesthood, but those of us who are ordained have a ordained priesthood in order to help you with the priesthood of the laity. And so you're called, and your spiritual sacrifices are the way you live your life, are your prayers. Prayer is absolutely essential in living your Catholic life. If you're not living your Catholic life, you're not living a if you're not praying, rather, you're not living a Catholic life. So prayer is absolutely essential. So anyway, it gets to the end of the reading and it says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own, so that you may announce the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. By the way, what is the darkness? The darkness of ignorance. The darkness of living the worldly way. So you're called to be this people who announced the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And why are we called out of darkness? Because we're called to be prophets of his message. That's what we're called to do. So as prophets of his message, by living our faith and by being signs of the presence of God, we are reaching out to others just by living our faith. That's why when the churches reopen, the most important thing you can do every week is to go to church, not only so you can unite yourself to the one who's called you to be a prophet. And if he's called you to be a prophet to him, which we are called to do, then you have to be connected to him in order to develop the strength and the wisdom and the understanding to be that prophet. And how do we prophesy? By standing on street corners? Not necessarily. And screaming out the Bible? Not necessarily. By living our faith. When you go to church on Sunday, that's a powerful, powerful sign of the presence and power of Jesus Christ. And that's so important. That's why all these Catholics who turn around and say, well, you know, I don't have to go to church. God's really good and he's going to forgive me. Well, not necessarily, because number one, have you shown sorrow for your sins? But secondly, and this is what's more important, is you've been called to be prophets. It's like saying, well, yeah, I know my boss is going to pay me anyway, even though I don't show up for work. Well, why would he do that? That's called a no-show job. They're not good things. So we can see all that, and we see the Lord is calling you to be his sign and symbol of his presence to the world so that the world may know the power of God, because he's calling all people to repentance and salvation. One of the things that led me to really deepen my faith when I did the series on the book of Revelation was understanding. People asked that if these were the end times, and these were signs of the end times. But if you look very carefully at the book of Revelation, even during the worst of tribulations listed there, God is calling the people to repentance and salvation. So even if these were the last times, which I don't believe they are, then God is still calling the people to salvation. And how does he do it? Through people like you, through people who are listening right now. So maybe you haven't gone to church prior to the coronavirus. That's the Latin form. No, coronavirus shutdown. But you weren't going to church because, you know, well, God loves me and he's going to forgive me. No, God called you to be a prophet. It's right there in the Bible. That's one of the great things about the New Testament. Very simple of who we are and what we stand for. And as we look at that and as we understand that, this would be a great time to reflect on that, to reflect on what God called you to be at your baptism, so that you can be what he called you to be, so you can be the servants of God and glorify his name as he glorifies you. Remember that, as he calls you to eternal life with him. So it's a powerful vocation you received at your baptism. Well, you remember who we are. We are the Voice of St. Anthony Parish. You can find us, as I told you earlier, at Saint, S-A-I-N-T, AnthonyAlston.org. And you can also find us at CatholicAudioMedia.com, and through that, connect to the show. Have you visited CatholicAudioMedia.com? There you can find material to help strengthen your faith and even support this radio program. Web videos on how to read the Bible, music from Father Adriano Zandana, links to column websites, and even the Pauline Bookstore, and even merchandise such as coffee mugs to bring a smile and encouragement during this time. CatholicAudioMedia.com. CatholicAudioMedia.com. CatholicAudioMedia.com.